comes. Shazari has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76 all. Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the whole length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Live. Welcome on a beautiful Thursday afternoon here at Fashion Furniture. We're back on. Last week, Paul Leffler had us on the farm show. I was out there in a beautiful, beautiful weather. All the farmers out there, great job. But we're back here at the beautiful Fashion Furniture studios of 940 ESPN. Matt is in the house, the Pag Meter. Bobby here. We got a great show. Matt, welcome.
Well, welcome to you, Pag Meter. Nice to be here.
Yes, beautiful weather. I don't think it's ever going to rain again.
Yeah, and we're under official drought conditions away.
All that rain went right to the ocean. We didn't think that went through, did we?
No, sir, we didn't. Why are you laughing?
I knew that was going to happen.
It's my matter-of-fact style.
Yeah, I like that. You got a little deeper voice today. What's wrong?
You know, it comes and goes. Yeah. A lesser man would probably be in intensive care. I don't know if it's the coronavirus. Something virus is hitting me. I'm battling it daily. Haven't had to take any time off yet. I think all that vitamin C and everything else I've put in, because, you know, I like to keep healthy. And so I think the vitamins are working. But any moment now, hopefully not on Saturday for the beginning of the tournament. Actually, the game will be calling out there at Clovis West, Arroyo Grande, for the opening of the opening playoffs. That'll be good. But I'm battling, kid.
You'll be fine. But this is a year we just had at the greatest show in town where Shazari through the air with 3.2 seconds. We're going to have a lot of great memories.
Yeah, hopefully we can create another memory, and then maybe for next year's lead into the show, we'll have a new Shazari type moment.
We don't get many, but if we get them, we got to stick them, because hopefully Bobby's recording our show. That, I would like, people always ask me after we broadcast, did you guys make a tape? And I don't even know if we do or not. Maybe I should check with that first.
We do.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's
okay,
a simple
good.
Fact. Let's not.
I'm telling you, we should sell them to these people, because they all want a piece of the action.
There's nothing like, especially when your team wins, to have a collection of media sound bites or the entire game to put in their collection. When you win a section championship, I think that goes with the course. I certainly have a videotape of the Edison Tigers winning the D1 championship in 2014. We'll get a chance to meet with Coach Arax. I'm sure he has video of the games, the championships that he has won. So it is part of the deal, and the kids love that stuff.
Yeah, Donnie Arax will be on the show today about 12:30 or so. We're going to have a round table. And you know Donnie, who knows what he wants to talk about. The head coach of the Bullard Knights, could be transfers, it could be 7-on-7, who knows. But it's out there. We got a lot to talk about.
He is truly one of the best true-to-real-life storytellers that I've ever been around. You take into account Don Arax, Chuck Manick, and a few others. Brilliant, brilliant storytellers.
Well, and Donnie had a, you know, so I had a birthday last week, and thanks to the MC here, Matt Johnson, and my lovely wife, Lori, and everybody. But he had a list. He went up there. He was going to roast. He had a top 10 list.
He had his top 10 list. The last time I heard his top 10 list was at the retirement party for the great legend Chuck Shadan out at Sanger, head football coach, who retired. He had a great one, and he brought another one, minus one or two good stories he wanted to put on it, but the editors vetoed those stories, and then we went with what he had.
You're the veto, E?
No, actually, he was the first. He understood. I don't want to talk about that one.
Yeah, but yeah.
We all agreed, with it, give or take. Chuck Manick was fighting for it. He had a couple stories he wanted to tell, but, you know, we kept it as clean as we possibly could.
A lot going on out there we're going to get to today. Of course, our number is 844-940-ESPN. I want to bring it up, and congratulations to all the cheerleaders out there. Cheerleaders are now a sport in our section. So if you don't know it or not, that is an official sport of every high school.
Competition cheerleading.
Competition cheer. There's one team, and I'm not going to get into it. That
they don't bring them all. I mean, you'll go to certain football events and other events, and you'll see that they have about 300 cheerleaders on the sideline.
Yeah.
They bring the select group, and they have a competition crew they build up for that.
Yes, sir, they do. And, again, it's just like if Madera South is playing baseball, and let's say they have a JV game at 3:30 and a varsity at 6:30, and the JV kid pitches six innings, three innings, one innings. He cannot play in the varsity game. So cheerleaders got to know now. It's a new sport.
Sure.
You cannot have JVs playing and then the varsity in the same day. So just remember that.
Well, I don't know. We'd have to check with our commissioner, Jim Critchlow, to find out if they've fully embraced the idea and got involved as being the overseer of, let's say, competition cheer. I would imagine if it's a full sport that the CIF would have to step in. But that is definitely a rule when it comes to the rest of the high school sports. You can't play a football game on a Thursday for, let's say, a freshman team and then come out and play for the varsity game the next day. They don't allow that.
That's correct. But a lot of people are already emailing in. No, it has always been a sport. No, it's a CIF sport. That's what I try to say. It has always been a sport.
They've always had, the competitions on ESPN, on television, regional events and all that. But no, now it's an actual, you show up and you got a dual meet, if you will, against another school. They have big invitationals where other schools show up.
Yeah.
It's a fully accredited sanctioned sport in our section.
And I wanted to bring this up because over the weekend we had many, many national champions in our area that went down to Anaheim for the United Spirit Association, USA.
Yeah.
This, they got it going on. And you want to talk about a money program this thing is? Now, my wife, Lori, we all know she's like the cheerleading guru, so I know what I'm talking about. She's a seven-time national championship coach back in the 80s and 90s when there was less affiliations of this.
Yes.
Now there's a bunch. Now, this is more, and put it this way. I love cheerleading because it brings out, you become a teammate. It helps you with self-esteem and all that. And they work their tails off, man.
Sure,
I don't know if you've seen it.
Yep.
There's more injuries.
Have I seen it?
Yeah.
I'm living it daily. I see the crews working out just as much as any other sport.
But I just want to say that over the weekend, it was more of a regional. Okay. It wasn't per se a national championship because you have to qualify. And
yep.
Clovis had two qualifications. And if you qualified, then you got to go to Disneyland. There was about eight teams in every category, and five were from Clovis. That's not really a national championship. The biggest one is in Florida coming up, and that's when the big best of the best go. So I just want to say, when I see all the national championships, this USA deal, Matt, they charge $75 a person, a kid. There's over 7,500.
Anytime you're mixing and matching. Entrance fees for every squad, trophies for everyone. If they are now truly a sport, which they clearly are, then they've also have to graduate to the fact that, like other sports now, everybody gets a trophy game. We had the youth football. Oh, they're the world champions. Oh, you're a world champion too. Well, yeah, we're a world. They had 9 or 10 world champions, and they're all in that same age bracket. That I didn't understand, but clearly if you're paying money into a section, into a championship, a tournament, if you will, and there's so many first-class national championship pseudo-trophies going out, welcome to the rest of the sports world, because that's what's happened. It's almost like they're afraid to tell one team that you're runner-up. No, you're going to give you a trophy, too. Everyone, it's the same deal.
It's
basketball,
it's really,
football, soccer, everybody's into that deal.
Well, they've got – this USA's got it down because – it makes travel ball, 7-on-7 AAU, baseball, softball, summer look like nothing compared, because they're making a fortune. I'm sure they got deals with the hotels, with Disneyland. There's 7,500 kids.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I imagine if you go all the way back, I don't know the dates of when cheer started and all that. It was certainly wrapped around football. With no football, you have no cheer. No football, you have no high school band, quite frankly, because it was the centerpiece of what started long ago.
You're going to have Lori calling again.
No, but that's the centerpiece of what started. If there's no athletic event, then there never would have been a need for cheerleading. Okay? Now cheerleading, rightfully so, cheer, has branched off to its own separate entity. But last I checked, it all starts when the fall season opens up and the football games start cranking up and other sports on campus, cheerleading is ready to go too. So it goes hand in hand.
Yes and no. I agree with what you're saying.
There's no, it's all yes.
But there's two different style of cheerleaders, though.
Time out. If you are the high flyers, you launch someone in the air 20 feet, you catch them, you do that. That's like competition gymnastics wrapped up in a cheerleading. I get that. Where do they perform that deal?
But they might not be out of the football
half court,
game.
Half court of a basketball game, halftime at midcourt, or a football game.
But they might not be out performing in a football game. That's what I'm saying. There's cheerleaders, and they're out there booing the balloons and the whole nine yards. And then they're in front of the crowd.
I understand that now.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
But the entire start of when it was invented, if you will, was built around a lot of people, probably at a football game, probably in somewhere around Canton, Ohio, and started wondering, would sure be nice if we had some entertainment on the sidelines. Hence, yell leaders, cheerleading, and all that was developed. Are you disputing that in
no,
any way,
I just,
or
form? I'm just upset that we didn't come up with the Nick and Matt cheerleading national championship and make some money on this and charge $75 a person. And not only that, they charge $40 a person to go see them. They are making a fortune, and I'm a little jealous.
You would be the bag meter and the bag meter, and now you'd be the cheer meter. You have too many irons into the fire. I mean, let's not get too carried away with this.
But they did a great job, and I like, because you know what? I talked to Lori about it. She's saying our valley is starting to take notice here in the rest of the United States because we are getting good now. Before, back in the day, it was Florida and Southern Cal, and they just dominated. Now we're keeping up with the Joneses. So that's good to know.
Yeah, I know. On my own campus, the cheer and all of the different teams and all of the different spirit groups have upped the ante. I've, going into three seasons now, I've seen a development of cheer that is off the charts from where it was when I first arrived. So clearly the building blocks are in place, and it's happening all over the valley, all over the state, and, of course, America.
Yeah, and they have so many different people are saying, yeah, Nick, you got like 55 different different categories now. And that's just, but you know what? If they feel good about themselves, it's all that matters, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Well, how about a new sport? Not a new sport, a sport that I consider a sport.
What is it?
Academic Decathlon. Academic Decathlon is its own competition. They practice, they train like any other sport would train. They get after it. They spend lots of hours, late nights and all that. And later in the show, around the 12:30 hour, Coach A-Rex will be coming in. But we'll also be talking about Madera County's championship academic decathlon team that happens to be from Madera South. We'll have a little blurb, a little shout-out to what they've got gearing up to go off to the national championships, raise money for that. And we'll be talking about that. Academic decathlon, cheerleading. That's a sport.
We do it all. And by the way, congratulations to the winner academic champions here for sports. So congratulations to the Kerman Lions in girls wrestling. They finished with a 3.44 GPA as a team. Boys wrestling, Liberty Madera Ranchos, 3.58. Girls basketball, Farmersville gets it done in the classroom, 3.78 GPA. Boys basketball, Mission Preps and Templeton tied with a 3.72. Girls soccer, Centennial, 3.81. And so, great job, teams. I mean, getting it done on the court in the classroom, that's what work's all about.
On the field of play, getting it done in your sport, and getting the academic thing right is absolutely paramount.
Right? I love that.
That is.
Yeah, so as a team, that is unbelievable. That is fantastic. So we do it all here, and this is what the Rise is all about. We talk topics and the latest breaking news in junior college. Ed Matic has been on administrative leave. We'll get the scoop, what's going on. Legendary coach Ed Matic, 12 straight league championships, 2 state. He
from what sport? From Mayor Phil?
From boys basketball, from men's basketball.
Men's basketball, yes. Fresno City College.
Yes.
The legendary Ed Matic.
One of the best. I mean, he's done such a great job. He makes men better people. And if you don't have time to be a Navy SEALs, and you're a good basketball player, then you go play at Fresno City. It's not for everybody, but Ed's done a great job. And we'll keep you updated on the latest progress, what the heck is going on. So it's still early in the game, but we wanted to get that out there. Coaching latest news, and we'll have Donnie Arax today talking about it, but DeJohn Kelly is going to be announced today that he is the official new head coach of the Kerman Lions.
New head football coach, Kerman Lions.
That means Fireball is going to need a new coach.
Fireball is looking out at Madera, the new school in Madera Unified, Matilda Torres High School, is in interviews this week and finishing up on Friday, and then probably next week looking for their next football coach to begin a brand-new program out at Matilda Torres High School in Madera.
Tell us about that. Where is it located? Everybody wants to know.
Well, if you're heading out to the country club, if you know your way around, if you take the Cleveland Avenue exit and head right off the freeway as you come north up the freeway, just head right, continue down there. On your right-hand side, you'll see all of the buildings and just a beautiful architectural piece sitting out there as you head on your way to the Madera Country Club Golf.
Okay.
Not quite that far, obviously, but out that way, yes.
And they will start in freshman ball?
They'll have a freshman or a second year. They will start as freshman football.
And it looks like the deal is done with Corey Hall at Edison. Corey Hall will not be the head coach at Edison. What do they know now, Matt?
Where do you get this information?
I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, well, what they do now is they have plans. I'm sure they've been talking with others, and they'll begin to finish out that process.
Okay. But we guess we'll find.
I like going to my. No. I got a job to do at my own school.
I know.
Searching around the rest of the valley about coaching positions. I've got my position. Very happy.
Yeah. If anyone knows more than that, please feel free to call us 844-940-ESPN. Edison needs something in a hurry because kids are coming in and going, "Hey, who's our intern? We're going to have the intern. I don't even know who that would be. Who's the is that
well,
McKinley
the intern
Lee?
At the end of the year was Coach McKinley Lee.
Okay. So he's trying to hold the fort down until something happens.
I would imagine. I really wouldn't know.
Wow. I don't want to say I called this when you left, did I?
I don't know. I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Well, I can't help it.
I
can't help it. We all saw it coming.
You don't change.
When we saw it at Fresno High this year, and what are they going to do? Are they going to get back on the map? If you don't take care of your head coach for football, that's the main sport in the fall, you're going to have problems. And not only wins and losses, and I don't even want to talk about wins and losses. I'm talking about kids leaving.
Yep.
That's worse than ever.
Seems to be a trend. You can't leave the school and follow your coach. It takes, I believe, it's a year period where they have to wait for all that. But clearly the stability, if you've got a coach that's galvanized the youngsters, got them all excited about what's going on, when that coach leaves, I mean, you know, things could fall apart in a hurry in today's game. Whether you want to believe it or not, I mean, relationships with coaches, so many great coaches around our valley, in our section, that really foster great student-athlete relationships, help the kids out well beyond the field to play. And when you lose that element, sometimes you lose. Talk to Fresno High School. I mean, that was a blow to their program, which I thought, we're not there, you and I, to know what goes on in the inner workings, but we do know that Fresno High was less competitive, if you will, last football season after Joe Marquez left the program. That's just one example of many. What you're going to see out at Fireball, they're going to have to get on it in a hurry. I just worked the Division II wrestling championships, so I got to see some of the Fireball athletes wrestling up close and personal as I helped with many other volunteers at Madera South with the Division II wrestling championships. I noticed that they've got some very good-looking young men out there at Fireball, so they're going to need to put a leader in place.
No question. In a hurry.
Yeah.
Because right down the road is Dos Palos. So, I mean, you kids could just – anymore, you don't know. But – you know, we look at Fowler. Jim O'Brien is not there anymore. He's the coach at Edison. Would he go back to Edison? I don't know. Who knows?
No, there's
no way.
I can't see that happening.
Okay, so would another Fresno Unified school coach?
Possibly.
Okay.
Why not?
Okay. I mean, we don't know out there.
He's been around, worked Clovis East, as you know. You say Fowler, but he was at East.
Yeah.
Edison, then to Clovis East, then back to Fowler. He's got a wealth of knowledge, and he's a good coach.
So, yeah, Edison's going to have to do something pretty quick. That means Fireball. What else? Fowler's interviewing.
There's
plenty of interviewing.
About Matilda Torres, a new school at Madera. You've got the Fireball situation that's now opening up.
Here's some of them still open. Delano, we know.
Delano, there's the one I was trying to think
Delano,
of.
Yosemite's still open. Fowler is interviewing right now. Lindsay, Minarets. And then eight-man football, and I don't know, do you know anybody who coaches eight-man football? But Fresno Christian and Layton are looking for eight-man football.
No, I do not.
Okay. So what are you looking for? You okay?
No, I'm just trying to get a phone number out to Bobby to send back to Gonzo, no problem.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah, that's what's going on in the coaches' world. the road to selling arena, Matt. We'll talk about it probably in the 1 o'clock hour, but it is on now. We've got, if you want to get the latest, you can go to the PAG meter. I'll keep you updated with all the brackets. Tonight we have basketball going on the boys' side, baseball going on. It looks like we do have that umpire issue still going on. We talked about last week. Madera South played a big game yesterday at Golden West. One umpire showed up. One umpire was set for the game. It is hard to ump behind the plate and then call the bases. Did he balk? I don't know. I can't see behind the plate.
Oh, yeah.
You can't.
Without having any,
was that a
wow.
double play? Yeah,
still out. Residual off of the walkout area of the officials down there.
They're still working on it. Good news is the SJVOA's officials around here yep. are bringing two today because Clovis plays at El Diamante today in a big game in the Coca-Cola Classic. They will have two officials, two umps on the varsity and two on the JV. So they're taking care of them. But does SJVOA have to do this every time? Let's get this situated. Yeah. I'll buy lunch. Let's get the CIF, the schools, and the umps together. We'll go have a pizza or something and figure it out. We should have it done in an hour.
Yeah, that you cannot – I don't even want to talk about that that area because I'm so out of touch. Although I was really, really impressed with the representative from down in the Tulare area, just kind of speaking his mind on what is possible and what is the holdups and all that. It sounds to me like they can get it put together, as you said, in a hurry, and it needs to happen that way. I hope we're not talking about deep, deep canyons of disparity in the money thing. They just, you know, I always say wherever I coach, like, I don't want anything special. I just want what everyone else is basically doing. So if everyone else is doing something that way, is there a chance we can match what they're doing? And I'm not talking about financially. I'm just talking about the things that are necessary. In the world of umpiring, we should be on pace with the California average. That's all I would think.
And, you know, you would think with these parents and the coaches, they put in so much time during the offseason, during the season, batting practice, coaches, camps, batting practice, pitching lessons. We can't figure out this umpire thing. I mean, Bobby's got to figure out in soccer. I don't think there's an issue, even though Clovis North yesterday we had how many? 36 penalties in a soccer. I mean, that's 36 fouls in a soccer match.
36 fouls.
And how many?
That's got to be some type of a close to being a record. That is a lot of stoppage and grabbing and stopping and.
47 in total, but I'm just wondering how many, if I was an official, if I was a referee, and I would think out of a 47, I would have probably blown the whistle three times. Okay, I want more action, okay? Yeah. I want more physical, and that's what I'm going to teach my kids. If you knock them down, then you get a dollar. If you get knocked down, you owe me a dollar. Is that bad coaching?
That's bad coaching, and that will probably land you in an area of losing your job because I do believe there are some rules as to paying our players.
All I hope, I'm hoping and wishing and praying.
But I get your point.
Yeah.
I do get your point, totally. And I go to the to a lot of the soccer games, and I'll tell you what, some kids are. So I think it's hilarious that in a certain respect, and you've said it, I don't necessarily agree 100%, but you said it. It's almost like they can selectively be based on the nature of the sport. They can take a speedy team and not reward them for being fast. They have to hold them back. When you talk about offsides and cherry picking with the soccer ball, you can't do that. You got to be in play. But they can also take away a team that is more physically dominating over a team simply by the fact of not allowing them to be so physical. I think soccer, when I watch, it is a very physical game. When you're going full speed to a ball, there's going to be a collision. I don't necessarily think they should call that many, maybe as many as they do. Who knows?
I see it all the time, and I know all the soccer people out there just spinning because you and I, we want to. Yep. But if Matt is in great shape and he's worked out 12 months out of the year and he is a physical machine, he's weighing 195 and he can, you know, he could be a light heavyweight champion at this time. And I've decided, you know what, I'm just not going to work out as hard. I'm going to eat some pizza and I'm 180, but I'm kind of softer. And we're both going to the ball at the same time.
Yeah.
And you knock me down, you get penalized. And it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, there's got to be an area where if I'm physically stronger and I happen to get to the ball relatively at the same time, and I basically, not using soccer terms, which I would butcher, so let's just use basketball terms. If I box you out because I'm more physically stronger than you, why should I get a penalty? Does makes no sense. I get it. Bobby's going to go crazy because he's our resident soccer.
He's shaking official. Himself right now.
But I'll tell you this much. Okay, off the subject of soccer. How about our Fresno State women's basketball team? 16-0 now. They're just outside of the top 25. They're in that top 30 realm, nationally speaking. Did have a tough loss last night to Air Force. But they're going to be the one seed. They're getting ready. And if they just do what they do, they're talking about, you know, NCAAs are on their horizon with the Mountain West tournament coming up. You know, congratulations. It's a tough one. However, didn't see that one coming, actually. But give them credit. They're doing
no
something.
Question.
We talk a lot about other things, but we should be talking about ways that basketball team, whatever they're doing right, whatever it's recruiting, whatever they're doing it right.
You know what I love about what the coaching staff, Coach White, is doing, and the team, of course? Second half, she makes the adjustments, and they tear it up. They're a second half team, which is awesome if you're a coach and a team, because you know what? We might be close. It might be halftime. We're down by one or two. They come in at halftime and make the adjustments. The other love I want to get out, Linda Garza in softball this year. Now, we are turning into a high school softball powerhouse in this area. Yep. We've got tremendous softball players. Linda Garza's recruiting local. Danielle, you know, leading the pack, Danielle Lung from Clovis, and she'll be one of the best ever if she stays healthy by the time she graduates. Linda Garza, she understands what was going on. If you're a softball, I don't care if you're 6 and over and you're playing softball, you want to get out to Fresno State, especially this weekend. Tremendous softball games. It's fun to watch, and it's a great place to watch softball. You're right on top of the action. Linda, keep it up. I love it. I love the local girls. We got some tremendous former Pag Meter All-Stars out there.
And then as you move into the world of baseball, they've got some local flavor in there, too. Love what they're doing. Another great facility as far as watching a baseball game. Our men's team out at Fresno State Baseball is definitely, once again, very excited to watch them play, very excited to watch them mature and grow through this season. I expect big things.
So I got to see Rex. He was at the birthday dinner. Rex Sutler, he's the voice of the Kansas City Royals. He hung out with Paul Leffler at the game on Saturday night, and he fell in love with Fresno State baseball. And he says, what a great program set up to come out and watch Fresno State baseball. I don't understand, and I want 3,000 people a game, because Zach Presno, the Mountain West Player of the Week from Buchanan, who's already he's on a pace right now, hitting home runs, it's like no other.
Yeah.
Get out there and see the local guys again. At Fresno State is a great product. Coach Bates has got it going on out there, and
that and some other things. We've got academic decathlon.
Yeah.
Coach Don Arax will be in studio. We're going to take a break. We're going to catch that back up on what's happening in Fresno State bat and ball sports. Of course, we'll continue to uplift. You go 15-0 in basketball, the women's team in conference. You're bound to have one night where you just don't bring it all the way. But they're going to be back live and ready to go here in the next last contest for conference, and then they'll start the tournament in Vegas. Big things are on the way. We'll be right back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. Don't turn that dial.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. It's the Pag Meter, Maddie J, Matt Johnson, here at the beautiful Fashion Furniture Studios, where it is going on. It's February. The weather's nice. You want to get your house ready. Believe it or not, Matt, it's going to be Easter before you know it, and get your house ready.
Every day is Easter at my house.
Is that right?
Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, every day is a holiday.
Wow. You're just my idol.
Yeah, I don't got these holidays. I don't really get into them. If you just live life to the fullest, then every day can feel like Easter.
I like it. Well, it's not Easter here yet, but get your house ready here at Fashion Furniture. And what do you call this place, Matt?
The Palatial Palace. Nothing like it in all of California.
And it's on El Paso Blackstone across the street from River Park. You walk. You have comfortable shoes. Donnie Arax is here, but he's got his old prom shoes on. I don't know if he can walk this area, because you got to have comfortable shoes. And make sure you bring your cell phone with your wife, because you might get lost. This place is so big. She'll turn left. She'll turn right. And it's like, honey, and maybe you want it that way. I'm not sure, Matt.
Well, some people do, quite honestly.
And you go hide away in the corner, get a recliner, and let her shop. Everyone's happy.
No,
she feels like you care.
I do what you should do. And I latch onto the backside and just let her lead us around. And yeah, that's pretty good. I like that one. And then, you know, secretly I'm looking at, you know, other details to the furniture. But I'm fully supportive. This idea that you're just going to let your wife or the other vice versa, let your husband just go on their own and pick it all out, and you come just back home from work one day, and that's the look you've got. No, you've got to be a part of that.
But she feels like you care, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You have to make her feel like you care.
Yeah, and she's happy, you're happy, then you go grab a bite, and that's how it goes afterwards. But it all starts with fashion furniture.
I like the story I told at that 60th birthday surprise party for you. And I started into the story, and she from the crowd like corrected me during my little talk, my little speech about how, you know, how we met, you and I. Well, no, I was there. I'm the one who actually introduced you. I'm thinking, oh, boy, so you met my wife before I knew what was going on? That's good. That was a funny little moment.
That was a funny moment. Val had a great time, but your wife.
She did.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Time.
Everyone had a good time.
Yes, of course.
Well, what did you want to bring up before we get to Donnie?
We've got on the line right now one of my coaches, one of my sidekick partners, Coach John Villa, to talk about the academic decathlon in Madera County. First time in the history of the school, Yosemite, which high school which had dominated for so long, but Madera South High School won the academic decathlon. Coach Villa, you're on the line.
I am, and I'm glad to be. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, coach, head coach, if you will, Leslie Rouse over at Madera South. What a great job she did. Tell us about the event and let us know what's coming up here, John.
Okay. Well, as you said, Matt, the Madera South Academic Decathlon team, ironically, our superintendent of schools, Todd Vile, was a vice principal way back when and hired Leslie Rouse. And this was like 9 years ago when I assisted Leslie for a short time with the academic decathlon because I was in love with it. I thought it was really, really cool. I've coached sports most of my life. And when you see these kids study their tails off, it's just like coaching any sport that you could ever coach. When you see these kids put everything they got into it, and then when they finally get to the competition, they're just as nervous as we are before a Friday night football game. And when they come out victorious every once in a while or individual events, you see kids crying. You see kids that have just spent hours and hours and hours dedicated to learning a subject that is not easy. And this coach, Leslie Rouse, one of the best in my book. I coached this stuff for a while because my own kid went to UC Merced and part of it was that he let me coach him and he won an economic gold medal and he ended up going to UC Merced. Now he's making $150,000 a year after graduating. So what has happened is Madera South High School, and this is unique because 29 years, Yosemite High School and other schools like Chowchilla and I think Kerman have been dominating the academic decathlon in this Madera region. And we have not seen success since 1991. And this coach who started that program, I remember when I was with her with four or five kids, now had over 22, 23 kids, including my own son, a freshman. And she
Which
did a great job teaching these kids.
It makes sense because you're such a knowledgeable guy that you would have kids that like this and get involved in this. And apparently there's 10 topics, or the topic was health and history of illness and wellness and the sickness and health. They have 10 events, and each group has a kind of a specialty because you see that there's always a grandmaster champion and there's a winner and medals given to different categories. It's a 10-event type competition, correct?
Right. And it's just like anything else. It's got its peaks and its valleys for kids. Speech. Kids have to go before judges and then speak and eye contact, and they have to know their stuff. And then they get into a super quiz, which they're on the clock. They got seconds to get the right answer in teams of two or three. And it was just unique because I watched this team. I didn't coach this team. I supported my kid as much as I could, and while coaching basketball and football, but I've always been a big advocate for academic decathlon, and I really like Leslie Rouse. So I put my kid in her class, and he's probably the youngest kid in there. And I tell you what, I saw kids crying after their fifth or sixth medal because this teacher just flat out did it. She's doing it by herself. And many teams have two or three coaches that do this thing. And, I mean, this is unique. It's 29 years. And what we really came to the conclusion was that after 29 years, you really don't expect to go to the state competition and you take your best nine and go to the state competition. And here we are, we're weeks away from going to the state competition. And of course, Leslie asked me to chaperone the kids and tie ties and quiz kids for her because she's the only coach taking them. And our beautiful district, supplies the hotel fee and the transportation. But we're going up there for 4 days. And if you've ever took, 10 kids or 11 kids anywhere to a really, really nice hotel in a really, really nice area, that it's really foreign to some of our kids to even be in any of those kind of places. And many of our parents, they're working outdoors and barely make enough to make ends meet. And
well, John, hang on a minute now.
That's great.
Well, the PAG meter wants to jump in real quick.
Now, I'm glad to hear that Coach is after MMA fighting. That she is that the same Coach Rousey?
No,
this is Coach
Rouse.
Ronda Rousey.
And you're talking Ronda Rousey.
Well, but she's probably bringing that same mentality, the MMA.
That killer takedown mentality.
Believe it or not, Pac Meter, the academic decathlon coaches, they may not look like Ronda Rousey or you or I or
Leslie
anybody
does,
for that
though.
Matter,
Leslie
but they
Rouse
have the
does.
Same
looks
intensity.
Like she can handle business. Yes.
To
close off with this, John, now, okay, so you've got it out to the PAG meter. I've got some material to send to the PAG meter. We're trying to, a collective goal for extra spending money. They're on the road for all this state competition stuff. We're looking for about $2,500. Donations will be up on PAG meter's Twitter. We'll get it all set up. We thank you so much for all that you do. And, of course, to Coach Leslie Rouse and, of course, all the student athletes that are involved in the academic decathlon. Congratulations on winning the Madera County Championships. Thank you so much, John, for adding that in there. And we're going to go ahead and continue to promote this deal. We appreciate your time, Coach Villa.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank
Coach
you.
Coach John Villa.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. It's good. All right. Take care.
All right, Johnny. Take care, buddy. Well, Coach Arax, Don Arax, the legendary, he's going to be a Hall of Fame high school coach. He's won championships.
Well, Don,
you guys have got a big you've got academic decathlon. Do you ever get involved in that around school? You're one of the teachers over there.
Yeah, they bring me in periodically on the weekends, and I help out a little bit. I remember getting on a principal one time because he didn't hire the correct guy to run our team because it's pretty important, right?
That's right, big deal.
And I think for years we were like third. Like we like had a 7-year run of being third, and Edison was one, Computech, yes. And then I think it was a University High was
University
two.
University High is the big one now.
And I was like to the principal, I said, hey, we got to get someone in here. We got to get up there. And it's like, what do you care about this? Well, we want to win at everything we do, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Those kids put a lot of hours in.
Certainly.
Donnie Arax in the house, of course. I want to thank you last week for my birthday show. You had a lit top 10 list, so very
that
impressed.
That was a lot of fun. I don't think we would be able to talk about some of those on the air, but that was great. It was a good time seeing people. You know, we were talking about Darren Hill that, hadn't seen him in a while. And
Rex, you haven't seen Rex, I bet.
Hadn't seen Rex Hudler for a while, so it was nice seeing those guys. That was a lot of fun.
We did get an opportunity, and I'm sure we can say it on air, to witness a great story of PAG meter playing in the outfield as a youth baseball guy.
But that's all we need
good.
To say.
Yes.
But thanks for, we could bring up things and we don't want to go there.
The thing about the story that's impressive, though, is back in those days, you were a seventh grader playing on the eighth grade team, which was rare.
Ninth grade. Wait, it was
right. I'm sorry. Seven. Tanaya went seven through nine, and Nick's a seventh grader playing on a team with – you know, ninth graders. And, you know,
well, that's reason enough to crap your pants.
He crapped his pants, and the response was classic. Yeah. Now, I don't remember this part of the story.
Good night, everybody.
The neighbor's house that you jumped in the backyard, did you know that?
No, the lady was gardening. I walked, jumped right over her. I looked like, remember the Sandlot when that big dog was chasing that guy down there? That's what I was doing. But speaking of Tenaya, when does Tenaya become the Tenaya Knights? Do I have to see Clovis West colors?
Okay, so we have a principal Tenaya that's basically turned the school around. Armin Terrigan, a former Bullard Knight kicker.
Yeah, I know Armin.
And the energy is incredible. Like, we have kids that are transferring from other schools that are going in there because it shows you how one guy can make a difference still, right? And but the one thing Armin's pulled back on a little bit initially was, well, let's get it all the colors, and he kind of pulled back. And, I mean, it was an issue I didn't want to push too much. My feeling is they should be, it looks like a Clovis West for you. They should be our colors. Absolutely.
Yeah, when Matt brought up a story, too, when he was at Edison, you tell him about your middle school.
Well, when they finally got the Edison, you know, the
Gaston.
Gaston, Rutherford B. Gaston Junior High, and I had to wear a hard hat. It was part of my job. I've got some construction background, so I'm checking on athletics. I've got my little Fresno Unified hard hat. I loved it. And I'm checking in, and I go in the locker rooms. The first thing I realize is, black and orange lockers. What? And then I go out to the basketball arena, and then on the courts, you know, it's the orange and black colors all over. And I had to take it to the district and let them know that you might want to put some black and gold mixed in there. So, the community's going to go crazy, which they did make a few changes. But the thought process.
Well, clueless.
Clueless has to be that, well, everyone deserves to have their own identity. But the identity is that feeds to your high school. You'd want to have cohesiveness, I would think.
Some of the things that go on, I just shake my head and say, this is clueless. One of my favorite stories is we had an administrator that switched schools and became the principal at McLean, coming from Edison as an administrator. And it's her first week on the job, and Edison is playing McLean at McLean Stadium, and she wears the Edison Letterman jacket. She's the new principal at McLean, and she's wearing the Edison Letterman.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I went up and said something to her, and I just said, and she was like, what? You're always complaining, Rats, which is true.
Yeah.
But that's just clueless is what that is.
Clueless.
Well, absolutely clueless.
Once a tiger, always a tiger. You know? So bleed black and gold. Now, there is, you know, the Edison Computech is black and gold, which is somewhat of a feeder, obviously, to Edison. I think that was the problem. I just felt like the community forever was, when are we going to get a real bona fide junior high? And they did. It got passed, and Rutherford Gaston Junior High was built. And then they decided to go with the Central Grizzly colors.
Well, you might as well put a little purple in there, too. But since you left, they're going to Washington Union, now Central.
Because we want to help Central out as much as we can. They've got like 5,000 students. And
no, I get, you know, I get Tenaya because it was built back when Abe Lincoln went to high school. And they didn't know.
Right.
They didn't have any idea. Well, Bullard's blue. Let's go gold.
Yeah.
They didn't get that one through.
Now, I was told that they are, like what you're saying. With Armin over there, principal, I know the athletic director really well. Great man. Actually, was at his house for a Super Bowl party. They're making a few adjustments. They're trying to kind of link into the night, a little blue, little color scheme changes.
They're adding the B and the blue, but it's not full fledged.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
I mean, we're just happy, Armin. What he's doing.
Well, that's the first thing, Armin. If you're listening, the first thing I would have done is, you know, make some money because you're going to have to start selling more logos the blue. You have to do it.
Well, I think he probably got some pushback, too, from his staff. This big thing for years at Tenaya was we have to have our own identity. Nah, you really don't.
No.
There's no.
The other thing, though, it looks like all the money's going to Boulder because your campus now is looking good. You go to Tenaya, I don't know if they're filming Iraqi-Iran wars out there or anything, but one word, sprinklers.
Which is a problem, actually, district-wide, and I'm actually met with one of our board members for another area, not the Bullard area, but to talk about this because, you know, I mean, I drove by what's the elementary school next to McLean? I like to drive around sometimes. It's bizarre. I can't explain it, but I just like driving through neighborhoods to see what's happened, right?
Sure.
There wasn't a blade of grass. This was last June. There was literally not a blade of grass, and we got kids playing on that. And, you know, administrators love to tell you, you know, if it's good for kids, well, is no grass good for kids?
No, it's horrible.
And we got the main thing in our district is we've got to up our Matt, you'll remember this as being the Edison coaches. You know, we have double the number of schools as Clovis Unified, and they have a slightly more maintenance guys, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
They got to increase the budget.
And everything's green out there. So if I'm a new family coming here in the Valley, it's not even a discussion where I'm going to go.
Well, I like when you, for the first time calling that basketball game out at Emmanuel. Oh, they went like turf, field turf, in between flower gardens. I guess the upfront cost would be there, but the overall maintenance of keeping it green and fresh looking, it really looked nice.
Well, Fresno Unified, I think, is heading towards turf fields because you got to consider this. Those schools were built before women's sports was relevant and all these freshman sports, right, and all the stuff. And so we don't have the real estate, so you have to do field turf because the fields just get beaten up, so they're going to have to do that. And, you know, the other question is going to be, if our district people are listening, is, you know, the new law is school starts at 8:30. I think that's going into effect not next year, the year following.
2022, I think.
So they're going to have to put lights on baseball, softball fields, and practice fields, or you're basically telling your coaches, yeah, you get about an hour and 15, 20 minutes. And then the other issue, guys, is if you're the baseball coach and you want to do a study hall or you want your kids to study.
You do it at night, I guess.
But I
went and watched Bullard practice 2 weeks ago, and there was five kids who couldn't take batting practice because it was too dark. And you go across town, their practice will till 10 o'clock at night. What a big difference.
And yet, what tournament are we in? We're in the Pepsi tournament with all the Clovis schools. So I think
Pepsi, Coca-Cola, it doesn't really
matter. Yeah, whatever. To you, it matters. Yeah. To me, there's no difference between Pepsi and Coke. I couldn't distinguish between the two.
You don't. Now you're getting ugly.
Okay. But, no, they're going to have to do that because, you know, practice is going to start, obviously, a half hour later for everyone. And now, hey, we got infield, then we got pop-up priority. Oh, we're done, guys. We got to go in. I mean, you know, you're going to have to put lights
in. Tough to compete.
And soccer's going to need, you know, soccer teams are going to need it as well.
Madera South Baseball, they got lights, right?
Yes.
So you got lights everywhere out there.
And
we do, and we're upgrading the new stadium lights because they've got to be redirected because they were set up for, you know, jogging and nighttime community activities around the track. So the lights are pointed towards the new track. Now they've got to kind of readjust and try to get LEDs. There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, there's some, I don't know, I go to a lot of baseball games, and there's some still, the lights are horrible. 60-watt bulbs out there. Big difference if the pitcher's throwing.
Now, to play devil's advocate on
Well, let's take a break. We're going to come back. Donnie Arak's going to be with us. 844-940. ESPN is our number. Call Gonzo in the studio if you have any questions. Well, we're going to talk a lot today about a lot of things, so get that phone number ready. We'll take a break. It's the Rye Show, Pag Meter, Matty J, Donnie Arak's here at 940 ESPN.
Number one local talk sports radio show. We'll be back.
Here comes Chazare, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazare flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazare goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, the beautiful studios of 940 ESPN here at the best furniture store on the planet, El Paso, Blackstone. That is across the street from River Park. They have it. I mean, Matt, if they don't have it,
you probably don't need it.
Yeah, they have it all. Mike Boo Boo Mancini Dupree next door has you covered in mattresses.
And I really mean that because Coach Arax would know this. You know, there's so many little things that make up the final touches to your house. Clearly, you have to have bedroom sets. You've got mattresses. You've got sofas and, you know, entertainment centers and all that. Whatever you might. But it's the little touches that you bring into your house. The centerpiece for your, you know, the decorative piece for your dining room table. The pieces on your little china cabinet area. And that's what you look around and you start saying, there's price tags on all this stuff.
Donnie, I'm going to guess you have
Feng
no clue.
Sway in your bedroom, right?
No, but I'm going to guess you have no say-so in your house. Christine runs the show in your house. For furniture.
Well, on that stuff, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, only the stuff that matters that I care about. Let them win the small battles, the big ones, like, you know. You know the big ones.
Yeah, but so she says, I'm thinking about putting a couch over there. You're like, okay.
Well, she really bought a lousy couch last time. This we got to come here because the last one was a really bad move.
Great move, because if you go to another furniture store, like I said, if there's a giant rabbit out front with a sign pointing in, not a good sign, but if you get a couch, and we did it 20 years ago, within a year it's going to be at a garage sale.
If I was a multimillionaire, there's two places that I would spend a lot of money, and that's not just a promo, because I don't care about promo for you guys, but this place I could spend thousands, and Patrick James. I could go into Patrick James, and they have the nicest stuff in there. It's just, I mean, it's expensive, but it's quality.
Yeah.
On that subject, you know, a great, great segue into something I wanted to ask you as a longtime coach. How much time do you spend trying to make sure, because you're a dapper dresser on the sidelines. I've always noticed that about you. You're pretty clean. The lines are good. Your pants, your slacks are ironed. How much time do you spend each year to year in football picking out, this is the look I think I want to go with this year? Is it simple, or do you have put some thought to it?
Zero. I haven't ordered. I wouldn't even know how to order our stuff. I got mad this last year because they ordered a shirt that I didn't like, and I order nothing. I asked for a vest. I mean, they got me a vest last year that went down to my knees.
Yeah.
Because I love vests.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, can we get me a vest that fits? I don't do.
Well, you're 3'9". It's kind of hard.
We were 9-3 last year.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. All right. You switch those.
Yeah.
No, I do none of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
None. Zero. So, I do like a good look, though.
Yeah, because you put on some pretty snappy slacks before on the sideline.
But you're matching. You want the coaching staff to be matching, correct?
Well, you don't have to match. You have to match some kind of logo and things we do. But I don't. That's a good question too. What's your take on that? Because I watch the college football games, and maybe the offensive side of the ball's got their white polo on. The other group's got their black polo.
That seems to be the direction we're going in. I don't like it as much. And the thing I really don't like is when coaches have two things. Shorts are ridiculous. Wear slacks for the game, okay? Number two, shirts tucked out. You got to tuck your shirt in.
Yeah.
And the millennials are big on a shirt. Well, we had a big controversy one year where coaches were like, hey, we can't cover. No, you got to tuck it in.
Well, I've had some coaches on my staff that physically can't tuck it in.
Well, that's another issue. Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to, you know.
That's another issue.
God bless some of my coaches I've worked with, but the chances of tucking in, cinching up the belt and doing all that too. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Because I'm visioning. You know? Yeah, there's some that couldn't even put the seatbelt on in the car, you know, give them a ride. But, yeah. So, high school football, you're the longest tenure coach there is in the section out of 150 schools.
Isn't there someone in Visalia or Bakersfield? Isn't there someone?
Nope. You're the main guy.
What's that tell you?
Yeah. Because in the last 2 years, we've had 58 openings. It looks like Edison is still looking for a job, right? Corey's not going to get it. DeJean Kelly will be the new head coach for the Kerman Lions, where you coached before.
Yeah.
He'll be leaving Fireball, so it's just a trickle down. Fireball's looking. You got another, you know, from Lindsay, and it all goes around and around. High school coaching from when you started, how much has it changed?
Well, not much has changed in terms of the time, because when I start, well, let's talk about starting at Bullard in 2000. The model for winning was set really by Randy Blankenship, in my opinion, although Clovis High, obviously, under Tim Simons, had a tremendous program. But in terms of the hours, where we're zero-period world of kids being there early in the morning and training, and then, you know, and that's where, by the time I got to Bullard, that was already in play. Now, I can't believe that someone reminded me of this a couple of years ago. We actually, my first 2 years at Bullard, I had the kids come at 6 a.m., which was crazy. And if you were to ask me now, I'd say I'd rather the kids come in at 8. But we just can't get it done unless they're there at 7. So What has changed is the topic I think we're going to talk about is the transfer thing. That's the biggest change. And the kind of lack of, you know, the tradition of I grew up in this area, I'm going to this school. Clovis Unified was probably the last kind of holdout in that. And to their credit, you know, their kids would, and they still have a very consistent, you know, matriculation from school to school. But remember when all those kids bolted Clovis North, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
That was a sign that it had hit them as well. So that's the biggest change, Nick, is the kids transferring, and that's a reflection on parents and society and all those things, because I think the kids are basically the same.
So do you think it's just the recruiting's out there now? It is what it is? Because the only thing it really looks like the CIF office really frowns upon is summer football. If you're going to play with this team and you go to that team, you're going to be – you can't play for a whole year. They're really frowning upon that. But the rest, how can you
– well,
what are you going to do?
L.A. caught up to us. We had a sweet little thing going in this valley for a number of years. And I know Matt and I disagree slightly, but on the transfer issue, but here's what I would say is that our current commissioner, I can't point to anything that he's done of any relevance, and in fact but his legacy will be a significant one because he's done considerable damage to what goes on in this area. I know some of it was driven by the state and it was inevitable. But there's certain common sense things that we could do that would cut this thing down. And
like what?
Well, we could talk about that in a second, but let me make this point. What bothers me is he hides behind, well, this happened behind closed doors, and I can't reveal this. Well, who is he answering to when he's making these decisions? And, I mean, there's got to be some checks and balances there. So parents now know it's just you can transfer. And the thing is okay, if you're going to say – then go to a model where everyone can transfer everyone. We're all hire recruiting coordinators, okay, and we'll give them a job, pay them money, get some boosters to help out, paying their salary, and let's really go out and recruit. You know, but right now what we have is cheating on a mass level, and if anyone says that's not happening, they're kidding themselves. Now, you know, a guy like Kyle Biggs at Central, Kyle's not out there recruiting. There's no way.
Winning does it.
Yeah. Okay, kids want to play with other good players, and at some point it ends, right? Nothing lasts forever. But there are agents out there. We know these guys out there, and these are guys driving 69 Dodges who are in the heads of parents and kids, and it's created a real problem. And let's remember what the value of athletics was always about, teaching kids these lessons, things that will resonate for the rest of their life. And now it's the coach got mad at me or I'm upset and I'm gone. We haven't been hurt by many transfers. Few kids have left our school. We're not getting a ton coming in.
Yeah.
And I think when we played Central last year in the semis, I want to say we had 2 transfers and they probably had 12 to 15. That's quite a difference. So, again, that's not Central's fault. It's the system's fault. So, for instance, Nick, you asked about solutions. Well, if a kid transfers from school A to school B, it's on school B to check the address, right? Or where his living conditions. It's supposed to be a full family move, right? Shouldn't both schools be involved in that? I mean, shouldn't the school that the kid's leaving from go to that apartment? I remember years ago.
Especially if school A, where you're leaving from, is kind of hurt or upset or does not really like this idea that you're leaving.
Right.
I agree. I continue. But I agree with that. But that's not always the case. Sometimes the leave of the student-athlete is better for the program that I'm coaching.
Why
would I want to even chase and spend any time trying to find out whether this kid was legit or not? I believe that there might have been some other external force involved in trying to lure my talent away, then I probably would get involved.
Well, you have coaches now that are openly texting and calling. Now, here's my deal. This has always been my take on it. If a kid is going to come talk to me, he comes to school and says, hey, I want to come to your school. I'm going to say, great, go talk to the athletic director, and if he's good, I'm going to call the athletic director and say, hey, we get this kid that's really good. Make sure he goes through the legal thing.
Yeah.
So what's happening now is there's some coaches now that are actually contacting kids. Yep. Like our middle school, you know, tonight we've had four – we had a really good team. Well, it may split up a little bit. We've had three or four of those kids that have already been contacted by coaches at other schools. Okay? So if that's the game, then give me some ammunition to do that. I mean, what's to stop – do I have to start playing that game? What I would rather happen is the new commissioner comes in. He has a big meeting where he introduces himself to everyone, and they bring coaches in, and we talk about this issue. And let's not – none of us lie. Okay? None of us are really innocent. We know what's going on. Some are bigger offenders than others. And we got to put a cap on this because this is not good for kids. And it upset in Division One the competitive equity that lasted for so many years. We had a situation where no one had repeated in Division One football since the late 90s.
That's right.
Central's won three in a row. Well, that's not really good for the other track schools, for the rest of us. Congratulations, good job, but that's not good for everyone else. And what that is then the domino effect continues. Well, I'm going to go chase a ring from this school, and I'm going to go. So the new commissioner has quite a job in front of him to clean up a real mess. And, you know, Matt, some of these decisions are made, and you shake your like a decision like, well, we're going to green light this transfer, but that kid can't play in games against that school. And what is that? It's either a legal transfer or it's not. I mean, didn't that just happen recently with a basketball kid in the Valley?
It did. That was an Edison move.
Yeah.
The kid's father was a coach, one of the coaches, been there a while as a coach at Edison. And the coach and the other coach got into it for whatever reason. I don't know. And so he's leaving. I'm not going to have my kids subjected to this anymore. And they left and they cut a deal. And then coach Jim Critchlow looked like he reversed the idea, which was smart by him, and said, no, if he's not going to play in that game, that's not right. He's going to play in all the games, because why would one school look at it as he's not going to compete against that school, but he's still competing against us? How's that fair to us that the one school doesn't have to see that kid?
But should the transfer have even gone through in the first place?
I believe this. The way the rules are written as I see them, Coach, I think the thing that started this whole mess, throwing aside the fact that every other section in California has been way ahead of us on this curve of how kids transfer, specifically down in the southern area of our state. But legally, if I'm a parent, I am a parent, I have kids, if my kid and we as a family decide that my son or daughter is not going to participate at that school, for whatever reason, at the end of the day, if I have enough wherewithal to hire an attorney, I can pierce anybody's ability to hold my kid back. The rules of the country oversee what some section or some district would say is not right, because we have the rights in this country to put our sons or daughters wherever we want to get them educated. And what happened was, I believe they changed this athletic influence thing because kids, all they did, because they knew the rules, they don't offer macroeconomics at school A. I'm going to go because I'm going to be an economy major.
Yeah, but that's
they got over there and they got eligible.
That's a different issue. Transferring for a program doesn't make you eligible for athletics at that other school. What do the rules say? So the thing is,
there still is a hardship rule.
The rules contradict what you just said. That situation, like in our country, it's free. Yeah. The rules don't say that. It's still full family move.
They don't, but you still have to, in this litigious society that we have, if I accuse you of something and it's not pretty, doesn't look good, you've got to lawyer up. To lawyer up, it's going to cost you money. Now, I've got money on my end to bring my attorney to the party. At some point, the CIF, I believe, probably had to take a risk business fiscal assessment and say, this is costing us way too much legal fees for what the ultimate end game is going to appear to be, right, wrong, or indifferent. So I think legally, I don't think the CIF, and I don't think personally that it's a Jim Critchlow problem, because he has to sit in a room, as Pagmeter said many times, in front of all the other sections. And I would guarantee you that at some point in these statewide section meetings, this topic has gone around the room. And I think Critchlow was the last, I don't say Critchlow, our section, was the last to do things the old-fashioned way. Yeah. I played a game my second year, first year at Edison. First year at Edison, we go down to play Carson. and there was literally 12 athletes from Long Beach Poly, a variety, and they're on the sidelines. Two got eligible right away, and within the next week, the rest of that Carson lineup was all transfers. I'm looking at it, in our district, if you even brought three guys at one time in, Critch was like, no, red flag, that's too many transfers coming from that school to your school. But down south, they've been doing this for years.
I don't agree with you on the job he's done. And I would also say this. I would just look, and again, I may be speaking from some bit of ignorance on this part. I would go visit a section that has it under control. I guarantee you in the state, there's sections I've read, but I can't recall them at this point, where there were some sections that were much stricter. The rule that I talked about, where both schools visit the house, that costs no money.
Exactly.
The you transfer and you have to sit out the end of the league season, that costs no money.
Let's talk about that for a minute. The visitation of the home. You can do that. That's not a there's not a hang up
but
there.
But it's on
because
the,
we both as school district A and school A and school B both have to sign the paperwork that it's clean, he's good to go.
But here's why that's not happening.
Do not sign it. Hold down though. If you send the guy and you're like, okay, I'm signing. But the other school, the school that the kid left from, does not sign a release, that's an act of Congress. That takes a while now.
Okay.
So you could not have the two signatures in this. Is that right? The student athlete is not eligible.
I got you. But here's what's happening in practice, okay?
Yeah.
Schools are not – if a kid leaves my school and I'm the AD, I'm not going to check his address because I know I'm guilty on a couple other kids on my end. So everyone's guilty, so no one wants to call BS on the other guy. Okay? That's exactly what's happening. Everybody's cheating.
Okay? I agree.
And the kids are getting cheated because everybody's cheating. Now
– it's like Major League Baseball.
The other thing you could do and you need to do is
–
If you punish – people harshly, like Coach Arax is caught recruiting a kid.
Yeah.
He's suspended for 2-3 years. He can't coach or agent cannot work on campuses or do those things.
Right.
Those are stricter measures that I'm sure would hold up legally. Punish the coach.
Yeah.
And then that stuff's going to end because no one is going to take that risk anymore.
There are several levels that I agree with what you're saying. The one thing that I agree with 100%, no hesitation, is that we all know that this is going on. We've known for a while. Heck, I was at a school where it goes on. It doesn't happen at my school now, but I was at that party with like, you want to do what? Who are you? Well, I'm leaving. I'm coming from Buchanan. I want to go to edit. Okay, you need to go. But I saw that it was happening. There was people giving kids advice. My point is where I sit today in the world of coaching in Madera. If this is going on, and we all agree that it is going on, could we at least somehow try to find a way to level the playing field? Because it's all going to work out. Because of the competitive equity model, the only, and you nailed it, where I agree, the only division that gets whacked around is Division I. Because that's where the kids are going.
Right.
There's not a lot of people from Tranquility that are complaining about what's happening in Mendota or Madera South. We're complaining that the big boys are getting healthier. And the little schools, not just county, but the littler schools, give or take a couple Fresno Highs and Roosevelts in there that are moving some kids around. Most of the time, it's going to the big school. So I think there needs to be some clarification with the new CIF director in a meeting with all coaches. What's allowable? Where are we going with this? We need to either clean it up or we need to build some model that allows everyone with diplomatic immunity to take care of what they have to take care of without being worried about losing their job.
Are you talking about full family moves, or are we just talking, I want to go A to B and not move?
Right now, you can go wherever you want. You're going to have a sit period. So they opened that door already.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, as Nick Pagmeter would always say, the kids don't have to lie anymore. Like, well, I got bullied at school, and I can't be at school. I got to go to a new school. Wink, wink. On the side, he's talking to the DB coach in the summertime, saying, I'm coming.
Right.
We don't have to do that anymore. We can say flat out, I don't like the offense they're running. I'm a man-to-man defensive guy. I want to play. You can go wherever you want. If you can't get the full family move, you got to sit 30 days. So basically what it happens, in my opinion, if you're going to go snatch kids up, you want to get them when they're getting to be freshmen.
Right.
If you bring in a guy that has to play, he can't play at school A anymore, can't do it. Yeah, but you're going to be a senior. You're going to have to sit.
Then you got to finagle and do what you're talking about and get some fictitious address, phony it up a little bit. Let's stop that nonsense.
And here's the deal. What are we doing to kids' heads in the eighth grade, most of whom will never play beyond high school?
Right.
We're going to these eighth graders and blowing their heads up and say, hey, come to my school. You kid, I'm going here one day. I'm gonna go there. I'm going to go this, giving gear. I mean, it's really kind of sick. It's sickening what we're doing. And that's why I can't let – if our commissioner's hands are tied, then he should have had a form where he sat down with all of us and said, okay, look, here's where my hands are tied. He's in some kingdom over there or wherever he's at, and I don't see him or hear from him or know what's going on. They send the correspondence. Explain to us, and maybe, okay, I understand where he's come from. Yeah. The way I look at it is he didn't want to make tough decisions, and it was just easier, and some of it was money-driven lawsuits.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, a lot of these families don't have
societal,
the money to hire an
attorney. Societal changes. We look at the model in college football. The transfer portal,
right?
The way things have changed. I've heard many times, I've fought for years and years and years while I was a college football player. Let me get this right. I can't transfer, but the coach that I loved, that recruited me, went ahead and took the Notre Dame job. He's free to go, continue to cash his checks, make all the money, but I'm stuck back here wondering who's the next coach that's going to have me, and all of a sudden they bring in a coach, which happened to me, and I didn't ever like this guy.
Right.
But I'm stuck. There's nowhere for me to go as a player. So they started already breaking down the college model, as you see, has already been broken down. And then all of a sudden, thanks to big networks, one of which we were working for in the Big House, is bringing to you live on Christmas holidays the best high school, private school, money-grabbing bunch of the business. And these kids are transferring from state to state and all that. And parents are watching this, and now the player's getting to talk at the 7-on-7 level about, hey, we can build it. LeBron built a super team at the Lakers. I want to build a super team at Bullard. So now all the kids are coming together, and it's just out of control. I don't know how you can put the genie back in the bottle.
But we definitely,
I'm with it. I would be on that committee with you and any other coach that wants to talk about it and be honest with what's going on. But until that point, society has changed, and before long, the college old school model will be the new high school model. The new college model you're seeing is now professional model. Amateurism is out the door. It's changing. There is no more amateur or anything.
I mean, I get a call a couple weeks ago, and someone says to me, we have this great team coming back next year, right?
Yeah, I
think we start off top three, right, Nick? Somewhere in there?
Somewhere in that area.
Really good team. And we knew coming out of last year we were going to be good off of a good season, and then – you know, the minute we hit the weight room in January, we know this is a team, right? These guys are good.
Yeah.
And I get a call and someone says, I hear so-and-so is transferring. And I'm like, no chance. And he wasn't transferring, but it's the fact that I had to think about, like, why would this kid transfer?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got it all set up to make a run next year. There would be no reason to transfer.
Yeah.
Well, welcome with Donnie Arax, the head coach of the Bullard Knights. This is a great subject, and I think you both are right. It's only going to get worse because every parent with the financials, the way it is at home, they think their kid can go to Alabama, and they can get college paid for free. How am I going to get there?
The only statement to this that I would make, and I make it all the time, this notion that if I go to the other school, I now will be looked at, and the colleges won't miss me, or I'll get a better – that's the only thing that I continue to stress. I don't care if you're out in the middle of somewhere between Atwater and Merced at some school I've never heard of. If you've got the goods and you have a working, heart-breathing coach that likes to get on a phone and call a school about a guy they've got, you're not going to get missed.
The reality
is, in this day and age of technology, you're not going to be missed.
The reality is we do not get scholarships for kids. At the best, we can get them a little bigger if we run a great off-season training, okay?
Yeah.
It all comes down to, what's it come down to? Genetics, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've told this story. I told this story yesterday. Tom Cable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's sitting in the weight room at Bullard one day, and my back's to the door, and we had this kid, Charlie Robbins, walk by, and Charlie ended up getting scholarship.
Arizona State. Yep.
No, he went to Fresno State.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Charlie's this big, corn-fed-looking kid, and he walks by. He's going in to get his third protein shake of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm right in the middle of a sentence, and Tom Cable gets up, walks out of the weight room. I'm like, where the hell's he going? Come in here, young man. He brought him in here. He looked him up and down. I like that kid. He doesn't know anything. It's all what?
Eye test.
He passed
the eyeball test.
And parents won't understand it. You know, I've had literally had parents, coach, you think my kid can get a scholarship? And the kid's like 5'9".
Yeah.
It's not happening. My son, it's not happening. Sorry, our boy. You know, it's let's
no,
just.
But having said that, there's no shame in being realistic with the parent, being realistic with the student athlete. There are other opportunities. I'm out in Madera South trying to convince some of my guys the value of junior college, and then somehow, somewhere in their growing up, figured that that's not good enough for me.
Or if they're good in academics, small liberal arts colleges.
Well, we've sent kids. You've been part of it. I've been part of it. Every coach probably up and down have been part of sending kids off to schools that, you know, Claremont, Mudd. Well, they have a football program, but your academics, your test scores are there.
Right.
Go there. Yeah, but I thought I was going to go to Duke.
No.
Well, dude, if you're Duke material, they're going to know. And they're not knowing because I've talked to them.
I think our new commissioner, and I've heard really good things about him, can make a real difference to rein this thing back. You're right. The genie has been let out of the bottle.
Yeah.
But we've got to try our darndest to get this thing kind of pulled in a little bit. Yes, society has changed. It's never going to be 1985 again. That day's done.
Was true neighborhood football.
Yes. I knew.
The way I grew up.
I knew, you know, my dad drove us around when he built the house
baseball,
over here.
Whatever,
you guys are going to go to this elementary school, this middle school, and this high school. Drove us around, and then I'm Coach Pop Warner next year. That's it.
Yep.
So those days are done. But we can do some common sense things. Well, what I don't like is there's no plan or vision that's come out of that office. Okay, if this is where we're at, give me a little bit of vision, something I can go to. Okay, let's talk about some changes we can make.
Well, okay, you've got a problem out at Edison right now. There's no coach. Kids are leaving.
It's really sad because
you're going to try to tell
football.
A family who I think my kid could play at the next level. It might not, but I'm hearing at the barbecue last week, my kid's one of the best. I'm hearing it from all the neighbors. You need to go look because your kid could be playing on Saturdays. Well, really? Yeah, he could. So my coach at high school says he has no chance. They're going to go find a coach. Maybe he's a good high school player. You don't want to get rid of that kid. You want to tell him, hey.
Right. Yeah.
So I think.
Once again,
it's a tough one.
Once again,
if I'm a parent,
yes,
hey, I'm a tough one.
That is the part.
I got a lazy coach over there.
My son or daughter, Nick, if my son or daughter has tremendous ability, even though I might be a delusional parent, because most of the time that's what's happening, but it's my flesh and blood, my son or daughter. I don't like this coach. This coach yells too much. This coach is too nice. This coach doesn't stress academics. Whatever your reason might be, that's my kid. I have every right to say, pack up your bags, we're going to another school.
But then
now you have to wrestle with the fact, are we going to try to cheat the system and get some fictitious address so we can play right now? Or am I going to take the dice and say, look, man, you're going to miss 5 games probably.
I would say you got to move.
That's what you got to do.
You have to move. That's the bottom line.
But the rule is you don't have to move. You might have to sit a period.
Or you have to do the
sit-out period.
But
then you're legally in the business. You're
right.
In.
Right.
And quite frankly, for a kid who's going to be a sophomore, even a junior, I got to miss what? 5 games? Oh, okay. We got playoffs still. That's 3 games. I'll still get a chance to play 8 football games. I'm in.
Right.
But what's happening is a lot of these kids, I know, I'm not mentioning school names, but there was kids, high school age kids, that lived in an apartment above an area where one of my other coaching friends from a different school, and I go over to visit. And it's like, look at those guys. They look. Is that the dudes that play it? Yeah. They live upstairs. I thought the guy's coming down from the mountain.
Yeah.
No. He lives down here. Well, he's got an address. So there.
It's like the time I was jogging down Van Ness, right? About, I don't know, 15 years ago, and I saw a Clovis West. You know the where we run out of the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
It's on the front lawn, and they're having a fundraiser right on Van Ness. I almost passed out. I was like,
oh, I remember that.
What the hell is this? Right in the middle of our hood. And again, I'm not – look, it's not sour grapes coming from a coach who's got a struggling program. You know, we're doing well. We're going to be one of our better teams next year. I just think it's not good for kids. And that's the thing. We're not losing a ton of kids because I think our parents and kids, for the most part, see the value in what we're doing, the hard work. They're going to train like no other when they come to us.
What really kills me, Coach – and it really does because it's close to home for me. The big schools, which you're one of them. When I say big, not so I don't want anybody calling, well, they don't have pop. No, I'm just talking about the power brokers, the big boy schools that play big-time football, big-time basketball. Bullard is one of them. You've got. You're the one has to. You're dealing with an animal because you're dealing with, as you said, this competitive equity model is kind of getting turned upside down because of this. It's the kid, the school I'm at, the ones who play in the lower divisions.
Right.
When you have that one special talent, the kid who's going to uplift, it takes one or two.
Yeah.
Going to change the whole course of direction of this school. Could be Dos Palos, right. Could be Mendota, could be any school. And that kid leaves to go off to a number of variety schools that play at the bigger level because parents probably want to say, hey,
right.
We want to go play for the Bullet Knights. Yeah. They go toe-to-toe with Central, Buchanan. They're in the big show. That's what we want. And that one school loses an iconic figure from a little community. And I see it happen pretty much every year where I'm coaching now. Or, what do you mean, that guy left? Yeah, he's not. Whether it was Madera Coyote, Madera South Stallion, or now that we've got the new school coming along. Because they feel like my only road to ultimate success is to get on the big porch.
Now,
and I think the little towns.
No, I was gonna, now, what's sad about that is now, think about this, Nick. So that kid now is going to return to that community, or he probably still lives in that community.
Yeah,
okay,
yep.
His parents aren't thinking down the road at all, being a member of that community and loyalty and all those things that mean way more than being on the field. It's just like, you know, the kid that left, great player at Fresno State and a good kid. The kid that left Sanger to go to Buchanan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Jalen Crawford.
Well, he was embraced by an entire community. We've talked about this before on the air. You know, that town of Sanger is a special town. I love going there and having beers with those guys, with George and Chuck and those guys. They're wonderful people. He'd been embraced by that community. Well, he went – what? How did that change anything for him in a positive manner? That transfer ultimately is going to be a negative one. I mean, it's not going to be – you know, it's not going to make his life horrible, but – that is a community that embraced that kid, that loved that kid, that took care of that kid.
Yeah.
He played in a state playoff game in that stadium with 9,000 people there. That's a special deal. Okay. And, you know, it's like when kids come back to our weight room and lift weights and they left our school, it's like, I let them, but I'll pull them in. I'll say, do you remember me telling you when you leave here you'll come back? Because that coach isn't gonna, at that other school is not going to open that weight room. It's not going to be like what we have here. You know,
yeah.
That,
and of course, Jalen transferred. He was the most underused player in the section that year.
Yes.
Now he's at Fresno State.
Grass,
he's doing fantastic.
Probably should have touched the ball.
Yeah,
the grass is not.
And him and Kendall.
Him and Kendall. Every play, he gets to this play. He gets to the next. Just give it. Yeah.
It's high school football. The best athletes need to touch the ball.
That's it's pretty.
You know,
simple.
I'm not a mathologist. Okay.
I remember just a few years back. Was it 2 years ago, or was it last year? Liberty Madera Rancho's got that kid that came in, fully legal, but came in and one man on the basketball court changed the whole direction of an entire program.
Yeah.
That's the
kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You can get one guy added to the rest of your collection and it's going to help. But in these little schools, if they get one.
Yeah. Well, we can all pat ourselves on the back what great coaches we are. Here's the reality. This is a great story. I love it. We're coaching the crap out of this offensive line 1 year at Bullard.
Yeah.
We had two studs injured. And we can't run power or counter. We can't get a double team. And, you know, we run power and counter the way we run it. We always run it, you know, not to perfection, but we like to think we do. And all of a sudden, these two kids got healthy the same day and we're in practice. We'd worked our butts off, and all of a sudden we run power. There's the double team. I turned to the coach behind me. I go, coaching is really overrated. And it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, the other one I think the new commissioner we need to work on is, can we get a team like Madera South, who's Division Five, out of the CMAC? So you don't have to go, we're going to beat you 80-0, but, God, we don't want to play, and you don't want to play. We got to make Division Five play Division Five schools. What are we going to do?
The leagues, obviously, when's realignment coming in? It's
another year, I believe, another season.
I mean, it's just.
It shouldn't be another season. It should be another week. I don't understand why.
Well, they should call an emergency team and say, look, we got to come to a. And I know they have this voting system and all this, but that becomes all political. And the guy in the room that's the leader, I think, should be talking to people and trying to, you know, when you're the leader, you can kind of craft it. I think you have some freedom to say, look, let's talk about what's good for kids and what's good for communities. Madera South, okay, we've talked about this before also. If they're playing in a league that's different and they're winning games, then the next year you're getting more kids out. Like, you guys had a pretty good non-league last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then you get in the league, and you're not going to compete against Bullard. Yeah. And
but how fun is practice? So we got to play Bullard this week, and they come on Monday and like, oh my, well, who do we got this week? Memorial? Oh no. How about that the next week? Sanger? Well, it's just it's not right.
That all plays into once again this idea that if we're in this thing for the protection. Now, you don't have to agree with the model, by the way, competitive equity, but I think it was built because you didn't want kids just getting demoralized.
Right.
And you wanted to keep the numbers up in a great sport like football. And then you play and you come off of some of those games, and then the next season that kid's not wanting to play football.
Right.
Or that kid decided to transfer to Memorial because I'm not putting up with this anymore.
Right.
Because losing does matter, obviously. We're trying to win a game. And with winning or at least competitive games – kids can their egos. They puff their chests out. They play when they get just demoralized. It obviously hurts. But there will be league alignment, realignment. But you're right. If it was such an emergency, you'd think somebody could step in and say, "No, we're going to do it this way this next year."
What year are we into, Matt? Where Madera South has been in the CMAC?
At least ten.
I mean,
I just don't understand. To me, it's a no. You want to talk about all the other things? This is a no-brainer. Okay, get divisional placements correct. For the kids. I mean, I don't understand.
You mean league placement?
League play, yes. Yeah. But I just don't understand
there's
why.
There's nobody who does not agree with that. I think there's just not a vehicle in place. Because believe me, I've looked at it and tried many times. You need another school. So CMAC would need a Sunnyside. Then I would go, let's say our team would go to NYL. But without having a replacement team to fit your bill. Because now you're going to sit around and say, oh, thanks a lot. Now,
I got it all figured.
Find a game? How are we going to find games? We only get 9 games now. You got to move people around.
Sunnyside is definitely underachieving, not playing in the CMAC. You move them to the CMAC.
What I don't understand is when this thing came together.
You take Washington Union.
Another school coach.
You take Washington Union. CMAC, can I just finish real fast? Washington Union goes to the NYL.
No, I don't say no.
And Madera South goes to the North Sequoia.
This is the one thing I don't understand, though.
But just keep talking.
No, I get it. No. But no, you got to answer this because you're on a subject which is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of. I was there in the league of the CMAC when I just left. Sunnyside won the CMAC in football. Yeah. They beat Edison. I think they beat Bullard team.
Yeah.
And the very next year, they got moved to the NYL. They didn't continue upwards. They went backwards off of a championship.
Their school.
That's the one I didn't understand.
Makes no sense to me.
That's what I was trying to get out while you're on that subject of a Sunnyside, if you will.
Okay.
Sure,
but
whatever they're overachieving, what it doesn't matter.
So what you said, Nick, makes absolutely perfect sense to me. But it's voted on. Do you know a little bit about how it goes? I mean, if Brandon Gilbert knows, it's inside out our AD, but it's voted on, right? Each league has a vote, and – but shouldn't there be isn't there another way to do it where?
Well, you know what I would have done?
Brandon had a solution.
Well, here's what I do. If I'm Madera South and Matt won't do it, I'm going no conference at all. I'm going freelance like Emmanuel. I'll play 10 non-league games. I don't care if I have to go to Buffalo. I will not play in the CMAC and get buried every week. And then, okay, let's get ready for the playoffs. Well, hey, Johnny, how you feeling? Oh, Coach, my knee. They're all injured. They can't play in the playoffs. Well, we've lost 5 straight by 88 points, and you want me to play in the playoffs now? It doesn't work like that.
No, well, we're going to compete against Madera. Let's not get too carried away with it. That's a big game for us. Now, what Coach Arax did to me this last season was just like,
Yeah, I heard you rubbed it in on it.
No.
He didn't rub it in.
Oh,
but that was the only game in my history where I legitimately – and I didn't even know what the ramifications were, but I was thrown out. The stuff I was witnessing that wasn't getting cleaned up on, I was thrown out of the game, but I effectively managed to find my way back in the game.
They actually came over.
Well,
to us
they,
and
we
worked
it out.
Do you mind if Coach
we worked it out?
Now?
That's when you know you're over. That's when you know you're overmatched. That you can actually talk your way out of what should be an honor. At Edison, I could have never talked. Me, good. Get off.
Get off. You're done.
You got a penalty before the game started.
Well,
with
that was
Edison.
A different story. No, the point is, and it was Brandon, and I know that my athletic director Andy Devine has seen it, and I'm sure other athletic directors in our CMAC have seen it. He came up with a plan I thought was brilliant. It's basically like playing in the Big 12. There's two conferences. There's CMAC, but we have different levels of the conference.
Right.
So we're kind of matched up the best that we can, all right? And then you've got kind of the power part of that conference. And we all have to guarantee, like, next year I might not play Bullard, but the next year it's just a group of having 12 teams in
right.
or
NYL and CMAC join forces, and now we kind of rotate it through.
Right.
That way I can manage to have my regular non-conference games, but then also sprinkle in a few Hoovers and Fresno Highs in there as a regular conference game.
Right.
And then, you know, you're talking. And it, to me, on paper, it looked like he had put a lot of thought to it. He had a pretty good plan.
He's good at it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why this is not done, like, now. Okay. Division I should never play Division V in anything. It makes no sense to me.
There's no
Do you see Alabama playing Incarnate Word at ever in any competition? No. Because they have conference.
Where is
I think it's in Texas.
It's in Texas. Yeah. It's in the state of Texas.
That was a great reference, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. You fooled that one. That
yeah.
was good.
I think it's yeah. a
And they're really – the crazy thing about Incarnate Word is they're not as bad as their name would make them sound to be. You, yeah. you and I, old school guys like us, yeah. Nick, we would – Incarnate Word, you're playing who?
Who?
But they actually are competitive. I've been checking because when he said it a year or two ago, I started looking at them. They're playing – they're getting some good football going on.
Hey, Cole, people want to know your takes, and I know what you are, but yeah. – College football, Donnie Arax is the coach of Alabama, and then you recruit your class, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to Auburn.
That's well, so college.
And then these poor kids are like, well, wait a minute. What do you?
But college is a different deal. First of all, the kids at Alabama didn't grow up in the community, okay?
But they were still recruited to go to Alabama by Donnie Arax.
But the kids in college need to have a little bit more freedom because you're right. And you know, the coach is making $10 million and he can leave anytime he wants. That there's nothing fair about that. But that's a different issue. The way I look at it is we have the job of raising these kids, okay, into productive people, and sports is going to end at some point, right? It ends for all. We're lucky that we've been able to stay in the sports world, right? And what we're doing in terms of the transfer rules or not just doing what's on the books, holding people to the standard that's written on the paper, is killing kids. It's bad for kids. It's, you know, 25 years ago when we were and most of it was for the right reasons. We have a kid and he's not doing the right things, and we chew him out a little bit. We send him out of the room with a pause. We say, look, this is not – what you're doing is not right, okay? And you give him the old-fashioned lecture, and that kid learns from that, and then he develops, and then he comes back years later and thanks you. Now it's, I'm gone. Bye-bye. I'm just going to – and that's the cut-and-run style of life.
Well, you're talking to parents. It's not the kid. It's the parents. We got to get you out of there.
But
right?
If the kid knows his options are limited, okay, by – rules that are enforced.
So you don't like the 30-day sit-out. You're just saying 365.
It is. I am.
Unless it's a full family move.
I think you got to make a full family move.
I am completely, as I sit here today, in disagreement with that part. And I used to be 100% into that part. Why? Because the country has changed. And this is sports political. Let's make that clear. Sports political. Because it all goes parallel. Regular politics and sports politics are really one and the same. The country has changed. That world that we grew up in, we did not have microwave ovens. We did not have this quick fix mentality. It was roll up the sleeves.
Eddie Papoulias did.
And you're going to go to work. Okay. Papoulias had a microwave.
Yeah. Yeah. Poopy, the only that. One. The we only one.
So it's the, as you said, the quick fix. It is what it is. These kids do not, as much as we'd all like, there's 49 or 48% of the country wants to do that thing. We want to make America the way it used to be. There are the millennials in that group of over 50%. Those days are over. And the sooner we can have honest conversation, we can get to that, the better, because we're not going to be able to change. I look at kids and you look at the same ones. We coach them. They make gradual improvements to kind of our way of thinking. But ultimately, I scratch my head a lot and say, boy, this kid's 17, and I'm going to have 1 year to try to transform him into. No, I can only do with what it's given. And right now, the rules that are in place have accommodated that type of mentality. That's what it is. Well, so that's why I go back to parents. Parents, you can do all you want, but until the parents change, which good luck with that one. This is a new life we live in. There's an XFL league out there now. NFL's rules are getting changed and adopted all over that XFL. There's no longer kickoff. When you and I grew up, I'm the wedge buster, and they're sending me down 100 miles an hour to go break somebody.
Yes,
up. Those days are over. Same thing in our game.
Talking with Donnie Arax, of course, Matt.
Yep.
districts, because Madera South, you can't just go to Madera. What happens if you go to Madera?
Yeah, we have an inter-district policy.
Exactly.
You can really go through some hoops and try to make it happen.
It's going to come down to the districts. Districts are the only one.
I think there's certain things that carry on and that carry on from 100 years ago, 200, hard work, loyalty, okay, you know, character development in terms in sports. All the, I think they carry through. I understand times have changed. Who would have thought we would have these cell phones? And I get that.
Yes.
Okay. So, but if it's changed that much, let's not even and the rules don't matter. Then just throw them out, and then we'll just say let's go to the academy model, because that's basically where we're heading, right?
We're
25 years away from the academy
mentality.
If we have lost the ability to govern it, then let's just have a meeting. Let's not fool each other and say, oh, we have these rules. We have no rules right now. There are no rules. Okay, and just throw it out and let any kid go anywhere. Let's have recruiting days where we take the kids. We have our kids take them and, you know, take them and get them liquored up and do whatever, you know. I mean, that's basically,
you know what, maybe
where we're
on,
at.
Maybe on our show we'll
my rule is simple.
Except for the liquor part, obviously.
Well, maybe we can do, Matt.
Simple. Don't play them.
Matt, what
Period.
Do we do this?
Don't play who?
You got 12 transfers came in. Oh. You're not. I'm not playing you.
Nick, no one's. Or Matt, no
Matt,
one's doing that.
Grow up, Matt.
But
grow up.
There
it's
is a Trinity League in the Southern Section.
Oh yeah, we've played
Trinity Catholic. You played. You played
Orange Lutheran. They had like 10 guys that were
terrifying.
Near the team. Yeah.
Cresp. That modern day. That world. St. John Bosco.
Right.
They don't go play. They're playing teams that are very much similar. They have all the same rules in place of how they amass their super teams. All I'm advocating is continue with the divisions. Continue with what you're trying to do. They're still trying to police, obviously. You have to have guidelines. But I'm not getting it in my school, but I'm still advocating for everybody else to make sure you get it right. If I'm Division IV, I play a Division IV, Division III, Division V schedule. If you're Division I, you guys go toe-to-toe. ARACs, give him a little bit more ability to not get dinged for having a kid who came in his weight room wants to come there. Because that's a different world. I see it. I coached in it. The big boy football Division I championship, which will probably turn into open like it did for basketball, little hoopsters at Clovis West, that's a whole different animal compared to the schools that I represent, which are basically county schools.
Well, yeah, Clovis West girls basketball is a great example, right? Now, some of those probably are legitimate moves, but those kids have obviously been contacted, right? Those kids are moving to that school to play basketball, right?
For the most part, and they have a very giant, credible youth program that develops those kids. But those kids aren't growing up right next to the boundary.
No.
Now, they might matriculate and find a way to get apartments there when they're 8 years old.
I'm not accusing the coach of anything, because I don't know anything about it.
But let me ask you this. My point is this, Don. They know what they got to go play. They're fighting for a national championship.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to go play the big boys. I'm talking about the little schools. We're not playing the big boys. But when we finally have that matchup where it's Bakersfield Christian playing little low public school, well, good luck.
But real fast,
on behalf of Clovis West, good luck.
On behalf of Clovis West girls basketball, if you are going to play in that level, you got a pretty good opportunity. You're going to play at the next level, because look what they're doing over there.
I got you. But let's say, forget about Clovis West girls basketball. Okay. Let's say it's Slippery Rock High School, right? And they've got a dominant softball team. And they're kind of going over the line a little bit, right? They're drawing kids in. Hey, talk to this kid, blah, 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 whatever. And all of a sudden, a new commissioner comes in and says, okay, here's going to be the deal, guys. These are the rules, and there's a death penalty for coaches. There's a suspension. The first infraction is you're suspended for a season. The next one is three seasons. The next one, death penalty. You're done coaching. You don't think that's going to make that coach think a little bit differently?
Yeah, certainly is. But I think, didn't we just agree, though, earlier that it's not the coaches?
But
that's
no,
a little something. It's the people affiliated with and the parents.
I didn't agree to that. I stuck up for Kyle Biggs, and I said I know that Kyle's not out there recruiting kids. I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, but And in that case, it's just maybe a school that's drawing kids, whatever it is.
And there are many coaches out there that are manipulating it.
Winning recruits everything. If you win, people want to be with a winner.
But here's the other part of it. Yeah. Okay, so what you're saying makes perfectly good sense, except for one major factor. We got two people working in Porterville. What, are they going to have a whole team of, like, yeah, all right, region number 26, you've got four. Hire the PAG meter. He gets a crew of three salespeople. You get your crew as we go into retirement.
Well, charge the school. Fresno Unified is a $1.2 billion corporation. Clovis Unified is a big corporation. Clip a little bit from those districts to put everyone in a pot so we can do those types of things.
We can talk hours about this. Yep. We'll probably talk a little more about on the zone tomorrow at 4 coming up next. Tony D, I want to thank Gonzo, Bobby Boyd setting it up. Luis bringing over Donnie's earphones. That was big, by the way, Donnie.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Villa, coach, and, of course, Leslie Rouse, academic county champions.
Great MMA fighter as well. Outstanding. Have a great afternoon. You've been listening to The Rice Show here at beautiful Fashion Furniture, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.